17, 45 through 47. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give you the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." May God bless the reading of this word. You may be seated.
Above me is a picture from my office. For the math inclined, you might be able to count 24 Spider-Man things in my office. I have actually taken some of the things that I've given to my kids that they said they didn't want anymore, / I determined they didn't want anymore, and I put them in my office. Every day I have Spider-Man wallet. Today I've got Spider-Man socks on. So I love superheroes so much. And because I love superheroes, I assume you do too. In fact, I actually believe we all kind of view ourselves as, well, low-level superheroes in our own narratives, seeing our lives as adventures to live out, foes to be conquered, victories to attain from our incredible skills, skills with a Z. That's how proud we are of ourselves. We are the protagonists of our own stories, relying on our own strength, racking up wins, building our brand. You get it, right? This is kind of how we go about thinking. Today, we're actually going to see what God has to say with this hero mentality. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. It'll be the story of David and Goliath. Thank you, Grace, for reading those short verses today. Really appreciate it. You did a killer job. We all know most of the parts of this story, right? Goliath, villain. David, hero. David defeats the giant in the most difficult to believe sort of way. And then oftentimes, we apply this story with this superhero mindset to our lives. I have these giants in my life, this car payment, my student loans, my really tough boss, not my case, a toxic friendship. David beats Goliath against all odds, so I too can conquer my giants. Is that really what we are supposed to do with this story? Is that why it's in the Bible, for us to have a little bit of self-help to conquer our foes? As we go today, let's all ask the simple question. Who is the hero of this story? Who is the hero of this story? And then if we do, at the end, each of us will be able to answer the grander question. Who is the hero of my story? And what do I do with that? Who is the hero of my story? And what do I do with that? Will you all pray with me? Lord, thank you so much that we have this opportunity to open your word, to get in it, and to see you as you want to be seen. So, Holy Spirit, please move in this room. For those, Lord, who are not on your team yet and don't know who you are, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you open their mind and their eyes, their heart, so that they can hear what you've got. For the rest of us, Lord, that call you Lord, we still need you here. We still need you to bring us into your presence and let us see you for who you are. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so 1 Samuel 17. I want you, as we're going through this, imagine that you are an Israelite in the Israelite army. So put yourself in their shoes as you listen to this story, okay? Verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. Jump to verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines, they're over here, from the camp of the Philistines, a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. For those that don't use those measuring tactics anymore, that is 9 feet and about 6 inches tall. Goliath, 9 feet, 6 inches tall. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of that coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. It's 125 pounds, just hanging. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, just 2.5 inches in diameter. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. That is 15 pounds, just the head of the spear. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." This, by the way, was a completely legitimate ancient battle tactic. They would select a representative to battle, one from each side, and then they would take the results that came from that battle. Goliath declares himself to be the Philistine representative and has now come down and said, "Send me one." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Can you blame them? The Philistines had always been a thorn in the side of Israel, and now they stand primed to take over Israel at the giant's hand. If Israel can't answer, they're going to be enslaved. Greatly afraid sounds about right. So go to down verse 26. And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So David is the runt child of a man named Jesse. And the only reason he is at the battlefield is because he was sent by his father to bring his older brothers food. When he gets there, he finds that this giant isn't just mocking Israel, but he is in turn mocking the living God. David is appalled. And he looks at his friends. I'm clearly taking it as I feel here. Are we going to allow this thug to run his mouth and mock our God? Are we going to let this stand? Call it holy anger. Call it fearlessness. Call it a huge capacity of faith. Whatever David had there, he sees the cowardice of the rest of Israel, and he steps forward to be the representative fighter. When he volunteers, Saul questions David on the wisdom of this move. David answers Saul. Go to verse 34. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." Now, remember, the Philistine, Goliath, is mocking God, and that can't stand. But who is going to make this happen? Who is going to make this happen? Verse 37. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, sure, why not? Go, and the Lord be with you. Now, David is certain whatever is done in this battle will be by the hand of the Lord. Beyond that, David has actually put himself in a position that only God could act. Okay? He's put himself in a position where either God's going to act or he's going to die. I was thinking about this recently. I saw a tweet from Jackie Hill Perry. She's a Christian writer, singer. She's amazing. She says, I've gotten into the habit of praying for stuff that I know I can pull off if God doesn't. Do you already feel roasted? Because I do. Call it fear or call it unbelief. Both are insufficient. It's time to pray for mountains to move instead of anthills. It's the impossible stuff that's hard to pray, but easy for God to do. So I had that verse or that tweet in mind as I came to this verse because David has essentially done this. He has put himself into a position that if God doesn't come through, if God doesn't move, not only is he dead, but all of Israel will be enslaved. And he said, okay, God. And he steps forward. David grabs five smooth stones from the brook and approaches the giant. Verse 43. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. So now ask this question again. Who is the hero of this story? Verse 46. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the field, wild beasts of the earth. That, this is a very critical statement, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with a sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. David doesn't say that all the earth may know that I am the best warrior ever. He doesn't say that I am not to be doubted or laughed at. I'm a teenager, don't mock me. No, he doesn't even say that we as Israel are not to be mocked or messed with. The battle isn't about David. It isn't even about Israel. This is about the fame, glory, and power of God's good name. Make no mistake about this story. God is faithful, and he's going to defend his people so that all nations will know who he is. So that all nations will know who he is. And then as David said, everything that was about to happen is going to occur to prove God's power and position. Boom. Roasted. Can you feel the excitement here? They have both like shouted barbs at each other, and David actually just kind of dropped the mic and he said, this is what's going to happen. Well, you probably know how this story ends. Jump down to verse 48. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. Western Christians, those of us in this room or watching online, we are products of prosperity thinking and our own American exceptionalism. And we like to finish this story and tend to put ourselves or our nation into the place of the victor. We think, I just need to have faith like David, and I can conquer all my enemies. Are we really like David in this story? Aren't we a lot more like the Israelites? See, they were the ones who needed help. How do they react to Goliath? How does Israel react to Goliath? Well, they cower in fear. They run and hide. And they are looking for anybody to step to the front lines for them to have a go. Hey man, it's not me. You can go for it. Better you than me. Why? Because all Israel looks at this situation and says, I am incapable. I don't have what it takes to fight this guy. Let's be honest with ourselves. We are not the victors here. We are not the victors. We are the ones who are in need. We are the ones who are in need. So, who is the hero of this story? Well, we've already ruled out Israel. They stayed in the corner until the battle was already won. It isn't Saul, their king. If you didn't miss it, he sent out a boy to fight instead of going to fight for his nation. And frankly, it isn't David. It isn't David. Why would I say that? Because David said as much. He said it isn't by sword or spear that the battle would be won. It wouldn't be at his hand that Goliath would fall. God was the winner. God is the hero. God is the hero. God set this whole scenario up so that David, Saul, and all of Israel didn't and they couldn't manufacture the W. They couldn't get the win. God won the day all by himself. God won the day all by himself through an unlikely source in an impossible situation. You know what this sounds like? Sounds like a perfect picture of the gospel. There is an enemy who is coming against all of humanity. He has enslaved a people, us, and we are without hope in our weakness, in our brokenness, and in our sin. We are incapable of getting out of this on our own. And then one stood up for us. One came forward as our representative to fight our battle, to take our place. He knew we were ashamed and unable to fight. He knew our weaknesses. He knew our brokenness. He knew our sin. And he fought for us, not because we deserved it, but because we had no other option. Because he loved us and knew us. And Jesus, the true and greater David. Jesus, the true and greater warrior. Jesus, the true and greater king. He won the day for us. He defeated the enemy and paid for our sin through his life, death, and resurrection. And now, through repentance, only through repentance and belief in him, can we stand. And in him, we stand alone. In him, we stand free. The people of God stand in the victory of Christ. We are secure in him. God's pursuit of his glory through Israel won the day against Goliath. God's declaration of his glory through Christ to all the world has changed everything for us. So, who is the hero of your story? The calendar, as Russell and Lauren and I have said, the calendar, you didn't know until you came to church. This is why I'm here. The calendar just changed from 2019 to 2020. You've probably been in like reflect and plan mode. What was good? What did I like from my past year? How am I going to make this year better? These are all great questions. I'd like to add one to ask. So who was the hero of your story last year? Who was the hero of your story last year? If we maintain this hero mentality, we lie to ourselves about who deserves to be made much of. Who gave you those good looks to help you land that awesome girlfriend? Who gave you the mental capacity to get, keep, and excel at your job? Who gave you the wisdom to raise your kids like you have, to help them turn out as they are? And that's a good thing. That's all good. Who gave you the patience to love your husband like you do? God is the hero. So thank him. God is the hero. So thank him for those things. Acknowledge his grace in every part of your life. Now, this hero complex, this hero mentality, it actually cuts both ways. When things are going great, we tend to think we made it happen. And when things aren't rolling our way, we get angry. Why? Because the hero is supposed to have it nice. The hero is supposed to have it nice. So maybe you are saying 2019 was a challenge. My life was harder than ever. Every situation that could go wrong did, and it seemed to spit on me, and now things are generally in a downward spiral. Look back at this story of David and Goliath. The Israelites were completely hosed, and God saved them through a little boy. We might look out on the horizon and only see defeat and see pain. And beyond that, we might not see a way out, and we actually expect it to get worse. Okay. Did God leave us? Did God leave? No. No, God didn't leave. A loving Savior still holds us secure in his hands. Our situations might not be rosy, they may not be perfect, and frankly, they may be the worst that we have ever had in our life. But we can still trust in his name, faithful and true. Nothing and no one can take that from us. God is the hero. So trust him. God is the hero. So trust him. Here's the best part, my favorite part. Remember verse 46? Can you put that back up? Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why? So that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. So that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. God did what he did through David so that others would know him. Because God is the hero in Christ, Christ fills us with his Holy Spirit and then restores us so that we can tell others about him. God is the hero, so tell others. God is the hero, so tell others. He doesn't just leave us like Israel in the story. He actually empowers us through Christ to be like David, working for his purposes and uniting all things to him. Wherever we are, he renews us, he completes us. And now, through Christ, through his power, we take on impossible foes. Not things like our Goliath car payments, okay? Something more significant like hate for one another, hate for other nations, hate for other races, injustice in our city, greed in our workplaces, brokenness in our marriages, all the things that stand against God, he sends us out in the name of his son to reconcile and restore all of them to him. So who's the hero of your story? Who is the hero of your story? What's going to need to change in your heart and in your mind to see that only Jesus deserves that cape? Or web shooters, your choice. Only he deserves that place of honor far more than you ever will. What's it going to look like to seek peace today? Today, and submit to him as Lord, the true hero of your life. I have three potential action steps that we can take. Whichever you felt like, ooh, this one really kind of hurt and I want to ignore it. Well, I don't want you to ignore it. Three steps. Option one, look back at 2019. Find the biggest moments and see how God was the hero in your life. Thank him for these specific moments, okay? So look back, thank him. Option two, look ahead, 2020, okay? Look ahead to 2020. What are the biggest hurdles or obstacles that will remain unless God intercedes? Think of that Jackie Hill Perry tweet. If God doesn't move, you're in trouble. So what do? Pray for his action in those areas and pray for his grace to trust him in the midst of them. Okay? So look back 2019 and thank him. Look ahead to 2020 and trust him. Option three, look around. Look around. Where might God's very certain and clear hero status empower you to be an ambassador for him so that you can represent and tell others? Pray for wisdom. Pray for clarity. Pray for strength to actually step in through him and work with him in restoring all things to Christ. So look back, thank him. Look forward, trust him. Look around, tell others. The message is simple from this text. God is the hero of our stories, and he empowers us to thank him, to trust him, and to tell others about him. Will you? Do you believe it? Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, this text has a feeling that we don't have enough. We can't bring it all, and we need you. And sometimes, Lord, those feelings make us ashamed. Lord, I ask for your grace to be present in this room where we are feeling shame. Lord, meet that shame with grace and peace. Allow us to see you as the victor who is holding us up, who has won the day. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have won the day. We are desperate for you. And Lord, for those of us who are in a low spot where things are awful, we can't see a way out and we don't know what's happening, reveal yourself as gracious and true. Show your power. And let us see you as faithful and reliable, the one who is the hero, the one that we can rely on. Lord, we come to you with open hands. In your name we pray, amen.